SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.
SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
You're listening to Australia Explained, an SBS audio podcast helping you navigate life in Australia.
Access to vaping products has become increasingly restricted in Australia.
One of the big concerns about nicotine, particularly in younger people, is its effect on the developing nervous system and particularly the developing brain.
Vaping has been described as a major public health issue, and prevalence of vaping in teenagers is well documented.
But when you look at vaping, youth don't see it that way. They see it as safe, as socially acceptable, as something fun.
Quitting vaping can be challenging for young people. In this episode of Australia Explained, we explore ways to support them in the quitting journey. In Australia, a crackdown on vaping has targeted what Health Minister Mark Butler described as a major public health issue and the number one behavioural issue in many schools. According to Department of Health data, one in three Australian secondary school students used e-cigarettes in 2022-2023. Becky Freeman is an associate professor at the University of Sydney School of Public Health. She has been leading the Generation Vape Project, a study investigating young people's beliefs and behaviours around vaping, and says the prevalence of the use of e-cigarettes in teenagers is well documented.
We know that about a third of teenagers have at least tried vaping across Australia. And we also know that this number has skyrocketed in recent years, particularly when you look at pre and post the sort of COVID time when schools were shut down and, you know, all public health attention was really focused on COVID. These vaping products, particularly the flavored, disposable, high nicotine concentration products, became hugely popular in Australia. They're being marketed to kids, sold to kids, and these are the products that teenagers are using.
Despite regulations prohibiting the sale of vaping products in retail shops outside pharmacies, the reality is different. Professor Freeman explains, with black market sales making access all too easy for teenagers.
I have to kind of laugh when people call it a black market, because if your average 14-year-old finds it incredibly easy to get a vape, it's not really much of a black market. It's more of an open market. And that's why we're really focusing on addressing access. Vapes are just far too easy to get your hands on.
Vaping products have been around for several years now. Professor Freeman believes that one of the reasons they have grown in popularity amongst young people is that they are marketed as being different to smoking, which isn't popular among the younger generation. However, she argues this is not the case for vaping.
Particularly young people, they're really anti-smoking, you know? They've really absorbed those messages. Cigarettes are really expensive. They have the graphic health warnings on them. You can't really smoke anywhere. Smoking is really socially unacceptable. But when you look at vaping, youth don't see it that way. They see it as safe, as socially acceptable, as something fun. And the vaping industry has been hugely successful in their misinformation campaigns about just how harmful and how addictive these products are.
Professor Nick Zwar chairs the Royal Australian College of Journal Practitioners Expert Advisory Group, which creates guidelines for health practitioners supporting people who want to quit smoking. He explains that even non-nicotine vapes still pose health risks due to the aerosols produced when vaporizing the e-cigarette liquid, which primarily consists of glycerin and propylene glycol. Professor Zwar also backs the claims that nicotine is present in most vaping products, even if it's not labeled as such.
When the Therapeutic Goods Administration and other groups have tested vaping devices labeled as not having nicotine, between 80 and 90% have had nicotine in them.
Particularly for adolescents and children, exposure to nicotine poses significant health risks, including adverse effect on development.
One of the big concerns about nicotine, particularly in younger people, is its effect on the developing nervous system and particularly the developing brain. So that is a significant concern with the uptake of either smoking or vaping in young people. Now, in the longer term, vaping can have adverse effect on the lung and on the cardiovascular system, but the extent of those harms is still not clear.
Quitting vaping is a unique journey for every adolescent, as Richard Anderson, director of Quit Victoria, explains.
The simple answer to that is it's unique for everybody. There's no one way to be able to quit vaping or smoking. But people do experience similar symptoms when they're actually looking at quitting. The process of nicotine withdrawal is very similar, both across vaping and smoking. And health professionals are the best place to give specific advice on how best to quit.
Professor Zwar says whether the crackdown on vaping products bring a surge in adolescents seeking help to quit remains to be seen. For some young people, family and peer support will be enough, while others need help from a medical professional to overcome nicotine addiction.
Anecdotally, we have heard that quite a lot of people bought up ahead of that change, and if more supply doesn't come, it is likely that more young people will be looking for assistance with nicotine addiction from vaping. Some young people will, you know, simply decide that they can stop, and with support of family and friends, or with, you know, delay, distract, drink water, do something else, that sort of approach, or contacting the quit line, that may be sufficient without needing to go to seek help from a doctor.
Rachel Anderson says social peer pressure and not realizing the health impact of vaping are some of the reasons that make it hard for teens to quit.
I think there's an opportunity for parents and teachers and others to be able to reinforce the idea that vaping is not normal, but also to help them realise that nicotine is highly addictive. And I think, you know, for young people in particular, they've probably not been exposed to highly addictive habits and behaviours before. So they're probably not realising the consequences of what they're actually doing when they start to take up vaping. And I think that's one of the reasons why young people find it really hard to quit.
Professor Freeman from the University of Sydney says that as a mother of a 12-year-old herself, she empathizes with the concern many parents have about their teens being exposed to vaping at school. She believes that helping your child quit vaping will require two key steps: keeping a positive dialogue going and seeking expert support.
I think maintaining a really open, supportive dialogue with young people is really important, that they're seeing them as victims of the vaping industry rather than just being naughty or rebellious teens is really helpful. Seeking support from, if there's a school nurse or well-being liaison that you can talk to. I also really encourage parents to make a trip to your family GP who can offer support. And there's also resources like the Quit Line and the I Can Quit website.
Ms. Anderson agrees that framing a conversation with your child about vaping in a non-judgmental manner, allowing them to safely share their experiences, is crucial. Ultimately, all the support channels available to teens seeking to quit vaping are also open to their parents for advice.
It can be through a GP, so going and having a conversation with your health professional. It can be by calling up the quit line, and parents can call the quit line. And all these calls are confidential and they're really non-judgmental, but they can really help people. They can really help to set out like a tailored plan. They can offer general information on supports that might be available. They can also provide advice about how to start a conversation and really then how to direct them to the supports that they need.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Australia Explained. This episode was written and produced by Zoe Themadu and presented by me, Afnan Malik. Australia Explained Managing Editor is Rosa Gamian.
This was an SBS audio podcast. For more Australia Explained stories, visit sbs.com.au/Australia Explained.